Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Bannering the Blue Shirts. I'm Tom Murch Jr., and as always, I'm joined by Mike Murphy. Mike, we have real hockey to talk about.
We do, but first, I had French toast sticks for dinner in an air fryer. My brother Connor got me an air fryer for Christmas. I gotta tell you, it's a brand new world for me. You get
really
crispy,
so
Tom. You get
that's
the crispiness.
Something I've not tried in an air fryer.
Oh yeah, frozen French toast sticks, just like shitty ones. But if you throw them in, they only take like 3 or 4 minutes, and then they're all crispity, yummy yums. You put a little syrup on those MFers, and then you get a fork or a similar eating utensil. Then you consume them in a measured way so you don't choke and don't block your breathing passage, your air passage. And delectable is the word I would use. But anyway, hockey happened. Or in some places hockey happened, Tom, because we're seeing a lot of delays and postponements. And
who would have thought?
No one saw this coming. That not doing this in a bubble would be problematic. Yeah, but it's fun. The Rangers played like absolute dog shit in the first game, and everyone was like, this shit's hit the panic button, it's over. And then they won the next game, and also, oh, by the way, Tony DeAngelo got scratched because he had a really rough game, and he also got, what was it, a misconduct penalty for being a naughty boy?
It was two penalties. It was the holding penalty, and then I think he said something to the ref, and then he also slammed the penalty box door,
yeah,
which
you don't
in
slam.
An empty arena, you're going to get flagged. So, yeah, and Quinn was not a fan of that, and he's had these conversations with Tony before, and lo and behold, he misses game two, misses game three, but sounds like he'll be in for game four against Pittsburgh.
I want NHL refs to have a little flag they can pull like an NFL ref that is just like, you cross the line, you're being a naughty boy no more. Because I feel like it would make me feel better if they had like a beautiful purple little flag they could pull out. And like, once you see that, everyone just stops and like, uh-oh, somebody crossed the line. It's out of hand.
Well, I wish more refs were like Wes McCauley, where he'll actually turn on the microphone and he'll call out the penalty and everything. So it's really stopping everything down, and it's like, all right, this person is in the box 2 minutes, high sticking or whatnot.
2 minutes, you can't do that.
I just
my
think,
all-time favorite. Yeah.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yep, you can't do that.
You can't do that. we forgot what the penalty is. It's not in the rule book, but we know you can't do what that guy just did. It is interesting though that Tony looks like he had a short leash, especially because, wow, like Tom, we talked about this with the guys from Blue Shirts Break, but like the Jack Johnson experiment, as it were, has been exactly what we all really predicted, right? We all knew this was coming. We all knew it was a headache. We all were like, you know, we got our Excedrin ready, and we were prepared for what was going to unfold. But it's still a headache, and I think if it's not like completely obvious to the Rangers coaching staff what's going on with Jack Johnson now, I really don't know what to say. I hope against hope that there'll be some action taken. But yeah, we'll see. Anyway, I know
hope
you had
can
a whole
be a
structure
dangerous
for the
thing.
Show. Yeah, hope can be a dangerous thing. That's right. You had a whole structure planned for the show, and I talked about French toast sticks, and I ruined the whole thing. So go ahead.
No, that's perfectly fine. French toast sticks are perfectly acceptable commentary on this podcast. Why? Because it's our podcast, and we do whatever the fuck we want.
How come sugar
that was a little
gets in all the breakfast?
It was a little aggressive, but you know what I mean. And
Tom,
but yeah, sugar,
sugar.
I mean,
sugar in all the breakfast food. You got like muffins are sugary. You got French toast sticks that are sugary. That's all. Belgian waffle. You put powdered sugar on the goddamn waffle. You don't do that for lunchtime. There's no lunchtime sugar.
Well, there can be some things depending, but I think it's like you want to wake up in the morning and you want give your body some things to feed on and burn, and so sugar is the method of choice for getting you ready to go. Whether it's some people it's a cup of coffee, some people some Red Bull or a Diet Coke, or
Oh God.
just
Imagine
gets the
being
blood flowing.
the absolute animal that drinks a Red Bull to start the day. Good God.
That was my friends in high school.
Oh God.
That or the tall boys of Monster. And yeah, there are a lot of questionable things that I look back on. It's like, wow, that was a thing that
Just
was done.
It's just what a growing mind wants and needs is just a near narcotic level of caffeine. Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of narcotics, like snorting Smarties off, a desk, just typical
Yes, it's a
high
memory
school
that
hijinks.
stays with me forever. There was like an anti-drug day in my high school, and it was like, be a smarty, don't do drugs. And in my homeroom, there's someone, I remember his name, I'm not going to say his name, but he had the bright idea of crushing up the Smarties, dividing them into lines with, like, a ruler you would keep in like a pencil pouch, like a pencil case, and then doing a line of Smarties powder as like, this, I'm a rebel, look at me do this. And I was like, that's ridiculous. And then like four other kids did it, and I was like, yeah, this society is not gonna We're not going to get very far. I don't think any of them were particularly good students. It should come as no surprise. But yeah, I don't know how we're talking about snorting Smarties, but here we are. What was your, want to start with game one? What were your takeaways from game one other than, uh-oh?
So my takeaways from game one were pretty much, wow, the lack of a preseason really does have somewhat of an impact, because it just was. And again, like, not an excuse, because the Islanders were firing on all cylinders, and again, they're a team that went to the Eastern Conference Final, but the Rangers just looked like out of sync. It's like when you're watching a video on your phone with bad cell service and the video is moving faster than the sound, and it's just so out of sync that it's not like, enough to cause you a headache, but you know that something is not right here. And it's just, if only we could bridge this tiny gap so much. And it was understandable. Like, obviously, a lot of emotions. You have Lafreniere as the number one pick. He's playing in his first game. You have It's the first game in forever for Shesterkin, who had a lengthy layoff, obviously, because he did not play much in the return to play. So you obviously have that, but I think there were obviously moments you can look on, and then when they played the Islanders again in game two, it's like, okay, this kind of makes a little bit more sense. They got their legs under them a little bit. They are starting to, get into the swing of things. But yeah,
Yeah.
game one, it was just like, okay, I
Sloppy
would
mess.
expect this in a preseason, which a lot of people, making the joke, man, glad that they got the preseason game out of the way. Now the real fun starts. But with only 56 games, it's to be expected. And anyone who's watching other games across the league or just looking at box scores, you had a lot of games all over the place. I like almost every game, I want to feel like opening nights, rather, for teams, like, was over the puck line. So it was just offense, 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 and not so much defense.
Yeah, it was just a real cluster to me. It reminded me of like when you go to a drive-through and they put the burger on like the bun and it's way off the mark and like the cheese has fallen out and it's just a goddamn debacle, but you have to eat it anyway. We just had to get that one out of the way. It was a goddamn mess. There's sauce all over our hands, but we're kind of stuck with what we're stuck with. I felt like in that first game in particular, I was like, ah, oh, geez, poor Igor, right? Like the amount of times he was left out to just dry and it looked bad. And like, what's interesting to me about the two losses in particular is in the first game, like Matthew Barzal just roasted the Rangers. And then in game three with the Devils, like how good did Hughes look? Good, like good God. And it was maybe like, oh, maybe that's part of this is like these players that have this high upside and skill are kind of thriving when everyone's kind of getting into gear a little bit, because, you know, it wasn't just a case of game two, like the bounces or whatever went the Rangers' way. Like, I was enthused to see the offense wake up, and I've been really, really in love with how great Buchnevich has been playing. He's been just like, oh man, it's everything you've ever hoped to see out of Buch. Like, he's doing, making all these plays. Yeah, who could have predicted? but he's already looked so good. And like, I love that, like, you know, Phil DiGiuseppe has like two primary assists at 5-on-5, and all these other things that are going on. But I'm also like, Kaapo Kakko got a goal early. Now Filipetal has a goal early. Those are all good things. I know Lafreniere's still searching for a point. That's fine. And I really have been overall really pleased with how Keandre Miller has looked. And I know a lot of people, I know Adam brought up like on Twitter with Jacob Trouba saying like, you know, we're getting really close to this Jacob Trouba contract being like an unmitigated disaster. And you see Trouba make some plays and you're like, all right, yeah, this is what we were after. And then you see him, like the turnover he had, I think it was him who turned it over to where like Hughes blocked his shot and then he had the breakaway goal. And like you look at plays like that and you're like, ah, oh, Jesus Christ, like what are we in for here? But overall, I'm not taking too much away from like what we've seen so far, because like bottom line, it's three games. I know that three games means more in a shortened season than it would in an 82 game season, but I'm, you know, you can either choose to be like, wow, the Rangers had a 5-0 shutout. That's awesome for Georgie. And then, oh, look at how they played against the Devils, or look at how they played against the Islanders in game one. It's a bit of a mixed bag. It's up and down. It's gonna take some time to kind of level the ship, but also this three games, if it's told me anything, it tells me that I had a very good idea about what this year was going to be like, because we're seeing this all over the league, where a couple of teams that are supposed to be strong are like kind of floundering and playing kind of crappy. And, you know, like you said, you can really see all the warts without the preseason play. Like every team is just trying to get their legs under them and get moving.
Yeah, because it's weird. And couple things that from there, like the Trouba thing is also like, I'm eventually going to revisit, and I was meaning to do this, I want to say over the summer, but obviously, you know, stuff happened with the return to play being during the summertime and then, you know, being off and all that stuff. But it's just bizarre how, and obviously they're two different players and different ages, but you have like Shattenkirk, who comes here, gets hurt. He's never really ever fully able to heal and get back to a rehab standpoint. Leaves, goes to Tampa, and it's obviously great. Trouba has a career year in Winnipeg, and he finally gets the security of being in an environment where he knows he's going to be there long term, where previously it had been all this, oh, is Winnipeg going to trade me? Will Winnipeg trade me? And it just hasn't worked out. And it's not so much that like the instincts, but like he does look really slow, and it's just kind of weird for someone who, yeah, they're getting older, but is still young. But yeah, I definitely want to relook at that. And the other thing in terms of it's weird, you mentioned Buchnevich, he's off to a decent start. The KZB line as a whole, 5-on-5, has been a little underwhelming. Like, I'm looking just, you know, quickly here. And expected goals around the 40s, possession, same thing. But then you have guys like Hedl, expected goals, 72.87. His, you know, Corsi 4 percentage is 67%. Even Lafreniere, you know, expected goals, 51, possession, 56, 53. Like, you have these guys who are posting decent underlying numbers, getting their chances, but just aren't getting the points. And I think it'll be interesting to see how soon it takes Quinn to get real with some of the line combinations. It's interesting because as I was driving home from work, I was listening to Puck Soup, and they were talking about, the divisions and how each team has played so far. And the one comment was posed by Greg Wyszynski was, when does the flame start to get turned up, just a smidge on David Quinn? He's entering year three, and what he said made a lot of sense. It's that, yes, the Rangers are rebuilding, but every rebuilding team reaches a point where they are building something and they get to that point where they need to transition from rebuilding team to starting to take things to the next level.
Yeah.
And is he going to be the guy? And obviously, it were again, it's 3 games into his third season. It's only going to be a 56-game season. But I think what sometimes people confuse, it's and whether it's people complaining about, oh, why are people complaining about the lines? Why are people complaining about time on ice? It's the underlying things that we're looking at, whether it's Howden gets bumped up for something versus Hedl, Jack Johnson being used in situations, looking like Smith is going to be the odd man out versus Pittsburgh. It's just time and time and again a disconnect between the abilities of the players and what their output is. And that can stagnate a rebuild because, ultimately speaking, and we talk about this, I feel like, every year around the trade deadline, that the real contenders, they try to take care of business a little bit before the deadline as opposed to on deadline day
Yeah.
because they have playoff aspirations and they want to get their line set so that by the time
Yeah, they
puck
do it in
drops
the
in game
build
one of the
up. Yeah.
playoffs.
They do it in the build up to deadline day. They're normally among the teams who make the first deals because they have a very good idea of what they want. They go out and get it. They know in many ways it's ironic because they end up setting like what the market price is for some guys, but they're also in a position where, like, we're not going to wait and we're not going to be the team that misses out on what they want when we're a contender. We know what we want. We know what we're willing to pay. What do you want? And if the deal's there, they make the deal. And then that's when, all the other horses come out of the gate and we're off and running.
And, like we said, probably the last time I say it because I won't want to beat a dead horse. It's been 3 games, but part of it is this season, it is only 56 games. And before you know it, based on how the schedule is, you can get down a road where you are losing time. And obviously, I'm not saying that the Rangers are going to win a Stanley Cup this year, but you've seen freaky shit happen before. And like I think it was Adam who said, I think it was the last podcast, that you look at just on a pure talent perspective what the Rangers have, both in established players and up and comers, and all it takes is to hit a stride and maybe another team gets knocked out and you literally have no idea what could happen. So by almost holding back their potential progress by trying to figure out, yeah, can we get Brett Howden going? Yeah, we want to see more of Ryan Strome in this slot on the power play, not so much Kapokako. It is a little bit alarming is a word I would say. Like, not that I am losing sleep on it, not that I'm making any long-term evaluations of it, but it's something like, okay, let's see how long this goes, and just something to monitor.
Yeah, it is something to monitor. Like we can ask ourselves like how much should we read into 3 games, right? But in those 3 games, we can see a lot of trends that are eerily familiar to things we've seen in the past. And I think that's what we've been seeing so far in terms of you know, who gets moved up in the lineup. When we see like, hey, this line was really going, like the line with kids, and then they're just not getting ice time. Things like that are very hard to wrap your head around, especially, you know, it's like, well, you know, what are the underlying numbers? Well, the underlying numbers say the Rangers might be missing something. What do the optics say? The optics say the same thing, right? So we look at what's gone on so far, and we see a lot more of the same that we have seen, and it's not great. And but you know, I came into this year, I didn't think this would be a playoff team, and what I just want to see this year is all these kids, all these young guys, and then like the young guys plus Trouba is the way it works in my brain. I want them all to just develop and get comfortable and fit nicely into their roles and what's expected of them. And then we see where it goes from there, because this is just such a tough goddamn division. To have to be one of the top four teams in this division is not going to be easy.
No, and it's not going to be, because you have, like, and we've talked about this in our roundtable, you have, it's weird, you have a weird assortment of teams. You have, obviously, the teams who have won and are, you know, going on a bit of a downswing, potentially, your Washingtons, your Bostons, and you have the Rangers and Devils, who are on a rebuild, but trying to transition out of rebuild into playoff team. Yeah. The Islanders, who went to the conference final.
You have Pittsburgh. And then you have... You could kind of group in that first Pittsburgh. Group. Yeah.
Yeah, true. Although I think their decline...
is a little more though, accelerated. Like, yeah,
especially since like the strength of that team is tied to how far can Crosby and Malkin take us.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've also had some injury luck. But then lastly, you have the Flyers, who they look to me like they could be the favorite in the division just because
they look so of the assembled. Really.
Yeah, and again, it's Alain Vigneault early on, who we can see be successful, not so much, you know, in the later years, as we all well know.
Yeah. I think Kevin Hayes has five on five points right now. I forget, but yeah, it's very, like, I had the Flyers as the darling of the division before anything started, just because, one, I believe in Carter Hart, and two, I think a lot of people are sleeping on how good, like, Konecki is, and then, like, looking at the overall talent that's there, it's like, yeah, their top six is really quite good. They also have some really good D, even with all the headaches they have with Gostisbehere and everything. So it's interesting to me that this is how it pans out. And then the other team that you didn't touch on, of course, is Buffalo, which is a team that got, like, maybe, I mean, it would be a stretch to say they're the most improved team from last season in the entire league, just because of what they were able to put together with the Eric Staal trade, and then of course landing Taylor Hall, right? And yeah, I mean, Buffalo's gonna, you don't know what you're gonna get out of Buffalo, but the problem is you still have a lot of teams the Rangers need to be better than, and they don't really look better than any of them. So that's where we are right now.
Yeah, let's take an ad break, and after that, we will talk a little bit more about games 2 and 3 and whatever else we decide to. So we will be right back. We'll be right back. Hello, everybody. We're back from the break. And as I look on Twitter, the NHL has fined the Washington Capitals $100,000 for violating COVID protocols. For player violations of the protocols, which involve social interactions among team members who were in close contact and were not wearing face coverings. So congratulations, Washington. You played yourself. We're trying to operate without a bubble. And, like, here's the thing, right? We obviously all expected there to be positive COVID tests. We expected it. It's just...
it's unavoidable.
By
yeah.
virtue... well, yeah. Even if you're following all the right things, you're traveling in close proximity, you're relying on all disinfecting efforts being 100% effective, you're going to have some slips through the cracks. But... you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, and like not wearing a mask is a really basic thing, and it's just selfish to a lot of other people. And like I think of the AHL, who Larry Brooks wrote a really good story about what's going on and how there are a lot of players who they don't know if they're going to be able to continue playing because it's just not financially viable, which obviously is something you covering women's hockey would understand all about, the things that players go through. So to have a team like Washington just disregard protocols, it's kind of fucked up and selfish. And I forget who it was, but I think in one of the promotional pictures, like it was like a game day thing, like we see whenever the Rangers come into the arena, like they show and all the things. I think it was like Alex Ovechkin is wearing like a neck gaiter, which is technically not one of the approved face coverings. Now, obviously, for all we know, he could have a mask underneath and that, covering over it. But again, and like we don't want to harp too much on this, just wear fucking masks. It's really one of the simplest things that you can do.
That's all you got to do is wear a fucking mask. I always get a kick out of seeing coaches behind the bench. I think watching a game, Penguins game, like Mike Sullivan was guilty of it. I don't recall David Quinn doing it, but I may have missed it. Where we saw it all the time in the NFL, Tom, is when a coach is leaning over to say something to one of his assistants behind the bench or on the sidelines, they will take their mask and pull it out of the way and then talk to the assistant coach just without the mask on. And it's one of those things where it's like, when we all first started wearing masks, we did things like that because it was something we were adapting to. But how do you still do that at this stage? Like, how do you still not understand you can speak through the mask? You can. I don't know. It's these little things where whenever I see things like that, I'm just like, oh Jesus, we're in for such a long short season. we keep seeing these postponed games, and you know, for the most part right now, the strategy seems to be to tack on games at the end of the schedule. And like, you know, it makes sense because of how condensed the schedule is. Like, that's one of the things we talked about leading into the season. But if we keep adding on all these games at the end of the season, like, at some point you have to ask, like, are we going to delay the playoffs, or are we going to delay things and make things a mess? And yeah, I don't think the NHL can be too happy with how things have started. I know that it's, like, a lot of people compared what they're doing to, like, what Major League Baseball tried to do. Where it's like, yeah, we're just going to kind of figure shit out as we go along. And to the surprise of no one, it's not a good strategy to figure shit out as you go along with the pandemic and health protocols.
Yeah, speaking of which, it's a really dumb idea if you are the one NHL team that has yet to play a game this season, say to your fan base, hey, single tickets are on sale. Dumbass Dallas Stars, like, come on. Really? Yeah.
It's one of those things, it's you would think it's a parody, right? Like, You think it's an Onion article. It's, you really, we're really going to sell tickets? You haven't even been able to play a game. Oh, okay. Yeah, it, I mean...
How cute.
Yeah, we have to... These are all the shit we have to kind of swallow. And it comes back to, like, everyone who says, you know, just... There are plenty of people saying it, too. It's like, why are we doing this? We shouldn't do this. I want hockey back. We all love hockey. We all love sports, but we shouldn't be doing this. And at the end of the day, those people are right. Like, if you look at it from the most objective standpoint, and like, even if you weigh it against, like, yeah, but look at what the sport's potential to do good and how important it is, like, for people's mental health and routines to have sports. And it's like, yeah, but we're essentially telling players and every, like, we're subjecting them to risks by endorsing this, and their teams are subjecting them to risks, and they're subjecting each other to risks by making bonehead decisions, like we saw with Washington. Like, it's just this awful situation where there's no like, you cannot pass this video game level with 100% completion, right? You can't collect all the stars on this level. We're not going to get there. This at best is just going to be, we got to the end and we lost, you know, a lot of the coins we could have got, in which cases, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully no one gets devastatingly sick or much worse, heaven forbid. And yeah, I didn't expect us to spend this much time talking about it, but it is, it's a story. Like, this is a big story that, like, if you're a Dallas Stars hockey fan right now, this is the only story that matters to you. And if this was inside the East Division, we would be talking about it a lot more, because it would, like, when something like this happens with the way the schedules work, you have to move so much crap around. So yeah, you know, just a matter of time before it might impact either the Rangers or this division. Like, we just mentioned Washington and them being boneheads and fucking things up. So just a matter of time. I know we all want hockey really bad, Tom, but ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. Let's transition to things that were really good. Which I'll was talk game about two good against things. The Islanders. Yeah. But first,
Artemi Panarin had a good game.
Butch scoring the first goal of the season after they got shut out in game one. That was nice to see. Kaapo Kakko shooting the puck instantly, scoring his first goal of the season. Really excited about it. Very good things.
Good things. Good things are good. Yeah, it was a goofy game. Yeah, I think Joe tweeted this. We're like, there wasn't a lot of assists.
Who's Joe again?
Yeah, just some jerk off. Like, Butch's goal, his first goal, was just one assist to Mika. Panarin's goal, that was that great play by Brendan Smith. Remember Brendan Smith, everyone? When Panarin was sprung for the breakaway. Then Butch's second goal, Tom, was unassisted. And Kaapo Kakko's goal had two assists, and Panarin's goal had two assists. But it was weird at first because, you know, at the beginning of the season, we all look for things like, oh, he got his first point. He got his first goal. Bop, bop, bop. And then, you know, to have two goals with one assist and then another goal that was unassisted, it was kind of goofy to have more goals than assists. And then, yeah, it's fun because a lot of the guys you're expecting to get on the board are getting on the board. Fox very quietly, I think, has three assists in three games. I think Panarin's up to 4 points and Butch is up to 4 points. And in large part, it was because what they did in this game, as you were saying, this was just it was a classic Rangers Twitter moment where after the first game, we're like, ah, fucking fuck, fucking throw it away, garbage. And then they roar back for a 5-0 shutout win. It's like, we fucking got this. We're going all the way. You know, it's, there's only two directions the fan base can go, it seems. There's not a lot of moderates where they're like, oh, we'll take it and try it. It's more, here we go, bitches, we're going, we're going to win, or it's falling apart. So, yeah, it was really fun to see that and not participate in it. And then it was also great, like you said, see Buchnevich get rolling like this is so fun. He's just been making a lot of, like, he looks so confident with the puck on his stick right now. It's just awesome to see that he just looks like this player who's beginning to really embrace what he can do. And Yeah, it's really fun to see him become this player we were all hoping he could be. And like right now he's playing like a player who is better than I ever thought Pavel Buchnevich could be. I thought the best Pavel Buchnevich we
Ka-ching,
were gonna get
ka-ching, ka-ching.
was last year, right? Like how good he looked for stretches of last year. I was like, yeah, I'll take this version of Pavel Buchnevich. But the fun 3-game small sample size of Buchnevich thus far this year has been a blast to watch.
And his post-game media availability was just fucking hilarious. Like
He's
how
adorable.
he's on,
He's goddamn
yeah.
adorable.
And the thing about it is, it's all done over Zoom, so it's just watching them listen to the question without anyone in the room, and he's just like as obviously everyone knows, he's a very expressive guy. Like you know how Buchnevich is feeling, good, bad, or indifferent. There is
Yeah.
never any doubt in the mind of what is going on with Pavel Buchnevich, and just like he definitely did look like the kid who in class just did not want to get called on. And is just cr to his credit, he
Yeah.
answered the questions to the best that he could, and he was joking a little bit around because he was doing it with Panarin, and Panarin was speaking in Russian, and then Bobrov was translating, and I think at one point Butch was like, "Can I answer in Russian this time?" But yeah, it was just a really nice overall game when in the context of what everything in game one was. So it's like counterpunching almost when you're like playing tetherball, and it's just all the way one way, comes all the way back, swings and hits you in the face. But in a In this case, it was in the face of the Islanders, which leads us to last night's. If you are, well, rather, we're recording this on a Wednesday. This will drop on a Thursday. So, Tuesday's game versus New Jersey, just a interesting game where I feel like it's kind of a missed opportunity because you look at it and say, there are a couple of goals that Gorgiev gave up that you kind of want back.
Tom, we
One
had
that he
50
just.
shots. How did we lose?
Yes, that was the and I forget what the stat was, but it was something like I think it was in single digits that the Rangers have had 50 shots on goal or more. I think it was in like the post-lockout era or something to that effect. But yeah, Jack Hughes.
Had a
Jack
game.
Hughes
He
looked
looked so good.
really good.
He was picking people's
And
pockets. He was making the Rangers look like a joke. And it's fun too because we're going to hear about Jack Hughes, particularly in his relation to the Rangers and of course the Kaapo-Kakko thing forever. But I love that he looks like he's hitting his stride early. That's awesome. It doesn't
yeah.
also, you know what, Tom? It also doesn't help when you allow a goal 32 seconds into the game. Just not generally not good. I remember
Yeah,
I
the
was on an
Travis Zajac of all people.
Yeah, I was on an NWHL media call when just it lined up like right at 7:15, and so like the game was just getting underway, and like while I was getting set up for my media call, I just heard my brother in the other room just be like, "God damn it!" And I was like, I just called out, "Is everything okay?" He's like, "Zajac scored," and I was like, "Oh, 30 seconds in? Okay, it's gonna be one of those." But yeah, it was like a couple of good things to take away. Like it's good to see Kreid score. It's good to see Mika get on the board, Fox picking up assists, which is always good. And then, like you said, this was one that feels like it got away just because of what the Rangers were able to do. It sucks to see Georgie get pulled after, the game he had against the Islanders where, he had a shutout. But yeah. It's been really interesting watching deployment so far, and watching where the ice time falls. Actually, I don't know. I'm of the opinion that Ryan Strome has looked like garbage so far. And I try not to jump on the Ryan Strome is overrated yada yada bandwagon because I feel like enough people pointed out that it's like, we don't need me to bring it up, but. He made a couple of decisions. Like there was I very rarely like live tweet during games unless I'm like trying to gif things, but then I see like Shayna does it faster and better, so I'm like, why do I even bother? But like watching a play, the Rangers are on a power play and a Devils player broke his stick and Strome had the puck below the goal line and he forced a like he rushed and forced a pass up through the slot that got picked off and then dumped away. And you look at a play like that and you're like, what were we even trying to do there, Stromer? Like, what was the objective of that pass? Like, he was going across to the other point. Like, you're not going to get a one-timer out of that. It's too far. Like, I didn't understand what he was attempting or what the, like, he plays better hockey in his sleep than I do when I'm awake. I want to make clear, but I was really kind of confused by that, especially in a game where the Rangers had so much time on the power play. They had so many opportunities. And just so far, Strome has been, he's looked pretty rough, but I'm not surprised. It's just kind of disappointing because you would hope that he would continue to be like a reasonable stopgap while the kids get ready. But I think he had like, just looking at the basic box score here, he had like three giveaways, and is he still searching for his first point? I don't know. But it's not the start you wanted to see out of Ryan Strome.
He is pointless in the statistical sense this year,
Yeah.
not pointless as a player. And the troubling thing is that he was having a rough night, and he ended up with the second most minutes among forwards, 21-21 in total. And then you have Hedl, who ends the game with just 13 minutes of ice time,
And he's looked
where,
great every he's been one of
yeah.
the most consistent forwards so far in three games. In my
Yeah,
opinion, he's
I would
just
say
looked
he's
good.
been one of their best forwards.
Yeah, I don't think that's too much of a stretch. Like, I know he just had like a secondary assist in game two, and then he had the late goal here. But like, I don't know, Tom. I am the more and more I watch of this, the more I'm of the opinion of like, let the kids get ice time. Like, if they get overwhelmed or if they're just getting like, run over, then yeah. Shelter them a little bit more, but in a game like this where it's you see how good Hedl looks and Strome makes a mistake, like yeah, if a veteran makes a mistake, sit him for a shift. Like apply the same rules is what I'd like to see. Or if a veteran makes a mistake, give a kid an opportunity to make some noise and step into that role. That would be nice. But yeah, so far as the Rangers are 1-2 and this game was particularly rough because, Mackenzie Blackwood stood on his goddamn head. What can you do, right? And I think he was it 47 saves on 50 shots. It's gonna be hard when a goalie has a 940 save percentage when you throw 50 shots on net to win. And this was a game that got away from Georgie, like you said. A couple of those goals were just, it's kind of sucks to see. It was good to see Igor look good when he came in, and yeah, I don't know. It was like there are aspects of this game that felt like, oh yeah, the Rangers have good chances. It felt like overall the Rangers had more talent on the ice, but they weren't cohesive and they were still sloppy. Because like when they wanted to start like generating chances, it was there, but then they're getting all the power play opportunities, and then things kind of fell apart. So it's interesting to me. It's also been
Right.
interesting. I want to just say for before I forget for games two and three to see how the power play time has kind of, has landed on Trouba and Fox in particular to see who's getting those opportunities and reps with Toney out. Because I
You
was
read
kind of
my
hoping
mind
we'd
again,
see.
'cause that's
Yeah. Oh no,
exactly where I
go.
was
You
going.
jump into it. Yeah, you jump into it because I've talked too much.
No, you've not talked too much. Just
Shut up,
don't
Tom. I'm
be
talking too
silly.
much.
But yeah, that and so the one thing that I found confusing, and I was grateful that when I asked the question, Vince, he pointed me in the direction of a story that he had written that I just had not seen or I had read and did not remember. That happens. And the Rangers, obviously, they do this weird thing, or weird in my mind, maybe not in David Quinn's mind, where you have four right-handed shots on the first unit, one lefty shot, and then it's the inverse of that on the second unit. And towards the end of the Devils game, as Shayna pointed out, When they had the power play and then they had the man pulled, you had Buchnevich on one of the circles, and he was getting off a couple of chances. And her point was, that's an interesting look that they should revisit for PP1, because as constructed, they're not looking to cross the Royal Road. And by crossing the Royal Road, it's think of there's a line from the goal crease outward that, you know, divides it. So basically, you want to cross that line to get the goalie move from side to side. Because if a goalie's moving, they have less chance to set themselves. And Steve Alakett has done work where basically. Yeah. Your odds of scoring.
Kako Kako's goal was the puck moved across Royal Road and the goalie struggled to get across to stop it, and Kako Kako scored.
Explained it a lot better than I was. But they're not looking for those opportunities. It's almost like they are constantly cycling, and that would make sense if you're always having right-handed shots. So no matter what, when the puck is moving, you're going to end up with someone in a position to shoot from that spot, obviously with Kreider being a guy who's going to try and screen in front, get the, you know, the rebound goals, get the tips and whatnot. But then you have guys like Strome who have not looked good. And then you have guys like Howden who are getting looks on the second unit who he's not really ever looked good. like Lemieux's on that unit too, but I actually looked at it and his numbers were pretty decent on the power play last year. And
I don't hate Lemieux on power play too.
Well, yeah, because he doesn't like what Kreider does and being in
yeah, he's
the
a
area.
Poor man's Kreider. Yeah.
Right. So again, it's just little things that we're noticing, and I just don't get not having Kako on there because he was one of their better power play players last year in a smaller sample. But he, you know, finished in the top 10 in relevant metrics, whether it's raw points, expected goals, you know, goals for. It's just you want to give them the opportunity because, like Quinn admitted, you know, he's not too concerned about Kako because he's going to be a big part of this team when it gets to where it wants to be. But now is the time that you just let him run wild. Like, I don't see the Devils putting restrictions on Jack Hughes. I didn't really see the Blackhawks last year putting too many restrictions on Kirby Dach. And I get it. He was in the unique situation where statistically looked really bad, and there were no comparables because, you know, players of his cohort just don't exist because you usually don't have someone that young be that bad who actually remains in the league. They either get signed to Hartford or they return to their, you know, whatever league. So
they get pulled off stage, yeah.
But I think he's, again, like, he's looked a lot better. I know people are concerned. I think Gauthier's looked pretty good, although he just can't seem to buy a goal.
He can't.
I think he's hit the post.
Yeah, with Gauthier, I think the real thing is I'm worried he's going to become a victim of this deployment stuff with how much ice time he's going to get. Like, I think in game three, he got like under 9 minutes. It's why did we make the trade? Like, what are we trying to get out of Julien Gauthier by playing him this way? And like you said, the poor guy just can't buy a goal. Overall, I've been like, yeah, he looks fine when I get to notice him when he's on the ice, but we haven't seen him on the ice a whole lot. So.
And I think in terms of evaluation, we should end on a positive note. I think
sure.
Keandre Miller has looked pretty decent.
He
game one,
shows flashes of looking great to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there was some hesitancy in game one. He got burned for a couple goals against. I believe he was on for 3 goals, 4 against the Islanders. And then last night, or rather Tuesday versus the Devils, there were moments where he would get the puck behind the net and he's starting the breakout and he's looking confident in doing so. And like we've wrote about him, Adam's written about him. That's all you want to see. You want to give him the opportunity to play. You want to give him the opportunity to make mistakes, learn from those mistakes, because he's got to be someone of importance to this team. And it's just positive to see all the highs, all the lows, everything in between. And I just think that I've been impressed. And again, like it's hard to believe that this is someone that, who was playing hockey as a forward and was converted to defense, and he's holding his
Yeah,
own at the
and
NHL
no,
level.
yeah, and no, no taste of really anything other than straight from college to the NHL. And I think what's been interesting, like you mentioned the goals he was on for against, like I don't think he's made any, like, oh, those are just like awful errors to make. Like he has, misstepped and made mistakes, but what stands out to me is he's made a couple plays where he was under a lot of pressure and he made a smart play. And those are the things I look for with like especially young D when you see them do that like problem solving on the fly when they're under pressure, they have like two forecheckers on them or something, and they're able to make a play. And like being confident enough to like pass it into areas where he knows it's a safe area, not just at a teammate, but just to get the puck out of trouble when there's a window. He's doing a lot of things like that and like using his frame really well, doing all those little things where it's like, yeah, this kid's gonna be special. And that's been very fun to see. I hope we continue to see him just stay in the lineup and get those reps, because that's something I think all these kids need is they just need reps, right? And like I keep thinking about that, like when the Rangers had the goalie pulled, I think it might have been Sam or Joe, one of them pointed like I don't think Lafreniere was out there for when the goalie was pulled at first, or they said like they should be looking for Lafreniere or Panarin to shoot. And I was like, yeah, why is Lafreniere have, like, he finished that third game time with 47 seconds of power play time. Ryan Strome had 7 minutes of power play time.
Yeah,
What,
it's
Tom,
one of those things that
why?
I
Why,
don't
Tom?
know. I wish I knew, but it was
I
good to
just want to know
see
why.
Chandra.
Yeah.
I just want to know, but yeah, even
Just want to
one
know.
of the like you want to call it a mistake, but I don't really think it's a mistake. One of the goals against, and it was interesting to me because we've seen many times. Defenders, they like the the dropping down. They like to do the snowman,
Yeah.
all that stuff go on the splits. But Miller defended the 2-on-1 pretty well. He made his guy take the shot instead of passing it, and it just
What he's
happened to
supposed to
be a
do?
really good shot that went in, where I can count, all the times. Whether when it was the beginning, like Neil Pionk was learning, he would just drop down, and then it was really easy for the pass to be made, potentially
Yeah.
pass back. But it's exciting too because
It's so fun.
he brings in, yeah. Like I think that's the thing also where we said this a little bit about Ryan Lindgren last year, where the left side has just been a pit of nothingness since McDonough left. It was like Mark
Whoa.
Stahl and not much else there. I mean, you can say even as far back as losing Yandle as well, that side has just been, again, a pit of nothingness. And now you
Well, it's
have
been this work
Lindgren,
in
now you have
progress,
Miller.
yeah. Because even for like after McDonough, we're all saying, yeah, but we got Brady Shea, and that's what we'll start building around. And then it's like, ah, maybe we don't have Brady Shea. And now you're looking for someone to provide some fucking stability on that left side of the defense. And like, yeah, Lindgren is good, but he doesn't have like a ton of upside as someone who's like, oh yeah, like an all situations left side defender. Keandre can be that. And that's so fun to see. It reminds me of how we were getting, like, when we were all looking at each other in the first couple of games of watching Adam Fox, when we're like, holy shit, look at this kid, right? Like, there's not as much razzle-dazzle to Keandre's game as there is to Fox's, just in terms of, like, puck skills and what he's going to do in the offensive zone. But they're just plays that he makes where you're like, yeah, yeah, this is what we want. Just want someone who's strong and confident and can make really smart plays. And he also has been skating well. Overall, I've been really pleased with him. I've been, like I said, there's a couple guys that have looked really strong. We don't want to read too much into three games, but Tom, we've been a little hockey starved, so we're going to talk about three games as if it's been 3 weeks. So that's what you got this week, folks.
Yeah, and if I were to end it on, you know, Miller, he's been competent and he's been confident, which is what you want to see out of rookies. And they have, obviously, they're going to go on the road upcoming now. They're going to be playing Pittsburgh on Friday. And that should be, you know, a test in and of itself. They'll actually have a pair of games against the Penguins in Pittsburgh. And then they play a pair against the Sabres. Then they come back, another pair against the Penguins. So we're starting to see sort of the fun elements of this baseball-style scheduling, where four of their next six games are against the Penguins. So we will learn some things. We will get to see Lafreniere play against Sidney Crosby. And Crosby is a player that Lafreniere, you know, liked growing up. So, you know, we'll have that kind of a cool moment. Maybe he scores his first goal or picks up his first NHL point. That would be kind of cool. But
you think they're going to do that thing where, like, they melt the ice from that game where he gets his first goal or point and they sell it in little vials on NHL.com?
You know, that would be, I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, you know,
they do that. Trying to make money. They sell melted ice on NHL.com, which to me is like the ultimate scam. It's just such a brilliant idea that someone had in marketing. Let's melt the ice. It's just water. I know, but the fans, they think it's magic water.
You know, I'm surprised they've not come up with a way like, let's melt the ice, let's take the water, let's filter it, let's do all these chemical things, let's bottle it up, and let's sell it. Like, you can drink Madison Square Garden ice water.
Taste that first goal. Remember that? Taste that goal, yeah. That's horrifying to think of. Oh my god.
It is horrifying to think, and we might have just given away a free idea, but...
Yeah,
you know,
oh well. I don't think they're hurting for ideas. They sell, like, zombie garden gnomes on NHL.com, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
They sell, like... You like cornhole? You want to spend $50 on a couple of beanbags?
Sure.
Anyway, enough dragging in NHL.com. We got patrons to read, don't we, Tom?
We do, and we're, as always, we're very thankful to all of our patrons. We appreciate your support during the time there was no hockey. We're very appreciative of all the support. We understand those who have had to drop off, some who have re-added. As always, whatever you can do, great. Whatever you can't do, no hard feelings. We appreciate you being a part of this community. We appreciate you reading the site. And we just appreciate all your interactions because it makes, doing the show enjoyable. Because we just appreciate what you get out of it. And on that note, we have some special names. A 6 foot gap, Adam Nahoic, Aiden Gaspar, Amriel Kistner, Andre Shikagov, Andy White, Anthony Viola, Beezer, Ben Pierney, Bjarne Osterheim, Bob Kawa, Bobby Callahan, Captain America, Chris Abebe, Chris Lucas, Chris Marco Trigiano, Clark Carroll, Daniel Gizen, Frank Menino, George Lippman, Jamie Bussell, Jason Silverman, Jeff Owen, Jermaine Francis, John Predzapelski, John Reppy, Jordan Sassone, Justin Walsh, Keith Ranchillo, Kevin Mead, Kushtastic, Kyle Napolitano, Matt Bader, Matt Pumple, Matthias Olsen, Michael Kennick, Michael Marcus, Michael Silvers, Nikolai Hoffman, Panarin 2020, Patrick Landell, Perennial Powerhouse, Sammy Vogel Seinberg, Sean, Stig Bjelbeck, Stink Flamen, Tall Guy Rob, The Tin Man, Tori from Manhattan, and Trevor Kempner. Thank you again for all your support. I know there, I think we had a tweet go out this week for bannering points. We only got one. That's something we definitely want to start doing again. So the one question we did get, I'm going to hold it for a little bit.
Put it in the mailbag, open it up later.
Yeah. And obviously, as the season goes on and, you know, the schedule shakes out a little bit more, we're going to try and plan shows around when games are not being played so that we are not having a show and then it's becoming instantly outdated. I know we're going to have to work through some things as Mike's going to be a very busy boy with the bubble in Lake Placid coming up. I'd encourage people, if they haven't already, check out the Irish Garden. We have their bubble content pinned to the front page of Blue Shirt Banner, but it's always good to just, you know, go on your browsers and go to the Ice Garden. All the different writers that they have there, you know, Mike's one of them. They're putting out this content, and if you've not given it a try yet, this is the perfect time. It's going to be really cool playing at Herb Brooks Arena in Lake Placid, where the Miracle on Ice was in 1980, and
see,
it's going to be
ice,
yeah, because that has some historical context.
Yeah, that's special ice. That's the ice I drink.
That's special like ice. The ice water that Bobby Boucher has in The Waterboy.
That's right. It's always cold. Yeah.
But it's going to be a fun tournament. You're going to have a lot of games in a shortened period of time. A lot of great athletes.
And the semifinals and final are going to be on NBC Sports. So if you're someone who's like, I don't want to watch it on Twitch, well, the semifinals, the two semifinals, and of course the final, NWHL playoffs are just one game showdowns. So it's like football and other sports. So like, if you're looking for some more hockey, if you're getting hyped about the NHL starting up, there's going to be some really good NWHL action to catch soon. It all starts on January 25th, and I'm going to be a very overtired boy, and Tom might have to find a guest co-host, but I'll do what I can to come around for the pod if I can.
Yeah, and if you guys have, you know, the availability to do so, I know the NWHL is selling some cool merch. I just got my hoodie yesterday, and I'll have to be on the lookout for my cardboard cutout. I bought one for the Riveters, so that should be fun too. But yeah, as always, we're thankful for you. Mike, I'm thankful for you and all that you do on and offline. Thank you. I hope everyone has a good rest of the week, good weekend, whatnot. Stay healthy, wash your hands, wear a mask, and just be well and take care of yourselves and your family. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Let's go, Rangers. Goodbye, folks.
Let's go, Rangers. Bye.